following is a remastered version of Tribbles in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following live broadcast of Tribbles in Ecstasy may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised. Now give it up for Warp 11.
G'day everyone, this is Woody Valley here for another episode of Tribbles and Ecstasy. It's episode 101, so it's definitely well in start getting into the Tribble figures here. We're a bit short today, they're all a bit on the hangover side with the last week's 100th episode, so we're very short with the guests we've got on the show, or co-hosts I should say on the show. We don't have any guests today, so we're not talking to any special guests today, which is good. So, but here with me today is Skipper. How you going, mate?
Hello, everyone, and hope you get informed by this little bit of episode that Woody and I are putting together for you.
Yes, so, but we do have quite a lot to talk about. Of course, there was a bit of a so-called of a bombshell happened earlier in the week where there was an announcement from Stephen D'Angelo. Some of you might have been around for a while, might know him as a fill-in executive producer for a period of time, but he's also the chief technical officer at Cryptic Studios. He's now back in the captain's chair for Star Trek Online as Daniel Stahl has decided to step down and pursue an exciting project at Cryptic Studio, some secret project. So it's some of us who've been around for a while is like not surprised because this sort of thing has happened before. So what's your thoughts about it, Skip?
Pretty much this is the second time he went to a, Farmville and stuff, like little games,
yes,
like that.
Zynga.
Daniel Stahl went to them for a while, and then he came back to Cryptic and took over the captain's chair from D'Angelo. But I had no problems with D'Angelo last time. He seemed pretty good as the captain. He also kept us informed of changes and things going on in game, which was a little different with the devs being tight-lipped under Stahl.
Probably back then too, they were in a transition of getting sold off to Perfect World Entertainment. But I did notice that he was on the quiet side compared to Daniel Stahl before they went to PWE. Though he only did one podcast interview with the old version, video version of Stoke when they come to visit with their 100th episode. But I just, it's one thing I've found out from just looking at this is this is their fourth executive producer they had since game launch, and literally going through a executive producer per year in the 4 years as Star Trek Online has been launched. I've been finding that a little bit on the annoying side. It's just seems like they just can't seem to get someone to sit in the captain's chair and see it through till the ship has been decommissioned. So I did find that very annoying in retrospect. So what do you think, Skip?
If I remember correctly, Z was in the startup. He did the beginning, the beta, and part of the first year, I believe, before Stahl took over. Z announced that he was moving on to taking over. Wasn't he in charge of the entire company at Cryptic during the purchase? Zenerich?
Zenerich, yeah.
Yeah, they called him Z in the beginning.
Yeah, as far as I know now, he's executive producer over at Neverwinter.
Still Cryptic. Yeah. Still a Cryptic product. I'm seeing it's the startup. He was pretty much for that. He may be doing Neverwinter because that just recently came up, within a year or so?
Yeah, it's all a little bit confusing. I just had a quick look at the Cryptic website for the team, and it didn't have any mention of who's the executive producer for Neverwinter. He doesn't even show doesn't show Neverwinter at all who's the executive producer of that. As far as I understand, you know, word in the grapevine that Craig Z was in charge of that. Now,
Stahl might be going to that because Z used to do only startup in the beginning construction. Daniel Stahl does the pretty much cleaning up the product, and I think D'Angelo takes over the item afterwards. So this may not be a changeover for the bad. It may be just the progression of the game as it's going along. It's gotten to the point where it's stable. We may have players coming in. We have different factions. Now we have upcoming Klingon content and War Trilogy going on, correct?
I haven't heard what's actually going to be coming up next because, you know, now they pretty much keep it close to their chest until a week or two before season launch. So what we're going to get next is...
Wasn't there a dev thing on the Klingon War?
I have not seen any dev blogs about the Klingon War. If we did, we would have had it on the show notes. So
it is on the show notes. It's 36.
Okay.
I believe this is why he's taking over right now, D'Angelo.
Okay. Well. Me personally, I've just with Daniel Stahl, I find that. He's either, you know, the go-to man at Cryptic to get things done or something like that, or along that nature, or he's a very short-term person and gets bored very quickly, and he just went to go somewhere else to try and keep his excitement up, basically. So... Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's company business. It might be the thing they do over there at Cryptic, but I've just find it rather annoying that, you know, I really would like to have someone permanently in the seat and just see it right through to the end and see them playing the musical chairs. So, but anyway, hopefully... hopefully we'll get something positive out of all this and whatnot, and hopefully that Stephen D'Angelo would be hopefully able to jump onto podcasts and whatnot. Hopefully ours. Be good to talk to him. But so that's what's been happening with the musical chairs with the EP.
Cryptic VT.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to contribute to that?
Yeah, I see there's already an outline, so D'Angelo already knows what's going to be happening and what he has to get done, so I don't see much changing up until maybe, what, mid-year or August next year?
Yeah, well, they've got the big 8.5, season 8.5 content coming out, and also we've got the anniversary coming out in the end of this month. Yeah, I think it's actually mentioned it's going to be get released on the, let me look at the calendar. I think they're going to release it on the January the 30th. So
there's a lot of things going on at Cryptic. They're revamping a lot of the missions, they're reworking the storyline, they're trying to clean up mistakes or loose ends, it sounds like.
They've definitely, well, I suppose after the big thing with Legacy Romulus, they, you know, put a Romulan content out, and he gave the Klingons a bit of love as well, so it's sort of like being left behind with the Federation side of things, so they obviously want to get in there and get all cleaned up, give a new entrance into the game for your Federation character, plus probably also they just wanted to get in and give it all a nice big clean up as well, to, you know, make it all nice and new instead of old and lackluster. So it's definitely is a good thing there. So yeah, one of the course the dev blog you mentioned is talks about that, so we'll get there eventually. But other news we got here is one of the websites called ReadyUp did an interview of Captain Gecko. I've had a bit of a read of it. It's pretty much the common answers that he gives to with interviews, where he keeps everything close to chest and just doesn't go overboard with answering questions. So if you heard of any of the Captain Gecko interviews he's done, either vocal or by web, or by writing, it's, you know, he says what needs to be said and that's it. You know, he doesn't give us any what's been planned in the future and stuff like that. The thing he pretty much says is we're positive and we're making money. So if you've might interest some people, this interview might not interest in others. So moving on. They've now released the new client beta version of the, because they been on the controversial side, the Ark, the new avatar that Perfect World has been now trying to get everyone to go on to play the PWE Cryptic games. If you had a look at it at all, there, Skip?
No, but I had a couple of invites to the ArcGame.com stuff before, and I'm still questioning it because last time it crashed so badly. It's just, I don't trust it until I actually see it working for at least a year or something, because it can mess you up, the way I look at it. I mean, if they can't keep it stable and they're like the people setting it up, then, yeah, I'm not confident in it.
Yeah, of course, you know, I've said in the past shows, and if anyone reads any comments I might have left on other podcasts, you know, I'm very questionable about the using the Ark avatar. I've heard people use it and said that it's quite good, very similar to Steam. To people who also have used Steam clients, saying it's absolutely terrible, it's hard to try and actually just get in and start playing the game. So
could be conflict with other games like Steam, or
yeah, it's something to be trying to be competitive to with Origin and Steam. Clear as that just pretty much stands out like clear as day. So I've said this before. My biggest thing is I'm just very worried about this thing getting severely hacked, and that's going to cause a lot of problems, because I mentioned before, I have seen a avatar that was now being discontinued, shut down now, that got severely hacked. People were logging on, and all they were getting was nothing but the Matrix code screen, the numbers and letters going down like rain. At the end, they fixed the problem, but you had to re-download the avatar, then re-download the game. So it was not very positive at all. Some people I knew actually decided not to use the avatar anymore and whatnot, and I think soon, a couple of years afterwards, they got sold off and closed down. So understand my reason why that I am very cautious about using a big avatar client like this on my system. So, but only real positive thing I've seen out of it with if you jump onto the arcgames.com website, it does. It seems to show interesting figures where it shows how many downloads as it has received from the various PWE cryptic games. It's saying here that Star Trek Online had over 2 million downloads. So that's quite interesting to see that. I don't know how long that figures have how long these figures have been going for and whatnot, if they've been going ever since ARK has been launched or since PWE took over Cryptic. But it looks very positive that it's got 2 million downloads of the game.
ARK is not just Star Trek. It's also the Neverwinter and what was the other one? Champions?
Yeah, Champions, Neverwinter, and probably any other further cryptic games that are going to be eventually coming out. But yeah, it's just looking at the download figures, they've got here the top games. The top game was, top five was Neverwinter with 3.3 million, PWI with just slightly less, 3.3 million. Blacklight Retribution is 2.3 million. Champions Online just over 2.08 million. And Star Trek Online is 2.03 million. So looking at it, it's real good that people are interested in playing.
Perfect World game.
Right. Yeah, playing the Perfect World cryptic games. So, and especially Star Trek Online. But how long they're playing for is another question, and obviously we're not going to find out for ourselves. So, but yeah, so I've just something positive out of all the negative we just talk about. So, moving on here, we've the website Game Reactor did an interview of Salami Inferno, pretty much the just having a bit of a read through it. It's pretty much not really asking it's actually quite a good little article, because it's not exactly like got a headline of a question and the answer afterwards. So it's a very good reading. Of course, it's typical, keep things close to your chest about what's happening in Star Trek Online and whatnot, but I find it a little bit more positive because it was simply not Captain Gecko answering the questions. It's a different dev. But, so obviously, people might find this a bit of a good read to have. So certainly check it out.
I just like the fact we're actually hearing from the devs. It's been such a while since we haven't heard a thing, and then suddenly we're hearing multiple things with the changeover and everything else that's going on in Cryptic.
Yeah, well, I know the simple fact is ever since Perfect World Entertainment came into the game, they seem to have put on a non-disclosure agreement. So, if you ever listen to Cryptic Kestrel on their interview with on Priority One, she mentions quite a bit about the non-disclosure agreement that Captain Gecko seems to remind everyone of, and to the fact they want to hang on to their job as well. So it seems to be, it's one thing I really have noticed ever since they've joined up with Perfect World Entertainment is they have quite a large period of quietness. Then once they start launching content into the game, they come to the surface and start doing interviews and whatnot. So I'm starting to find that it's going to be pretty much the permanent thing now. So hopefully we can actually get one on when the season launch or something along that nature comes along. We're able to get a dev onto the show and have a good talk about it. So.
Yeah, that would be nice. Have you seen any of the little changes in the game that they announced that they were fixing in certain locations and things?
Yeah, they were fixing and modifying quite a lot of things, especially since the beginning of the year. So, they've done a little bit of release notes with little bits and pieces of changes and whatnot. And, of course, this weekend they're actually doing the launch of Dyson Sphere weekend, where you can get some bonus Dyson Sphere and some extra delivery as well. Yeah, because before I went to record the show, I quickly grabbed my Klingon and just did a quick run around in the Allied zone to get the stuff to keep the new reputation going. And I'd end up, when I came to turn in, it gave me like a small amount of dilithium and 21 instead of the 10 Dyson Sphere mark. So certainly worth it if you listen to the show in time. It's
were you on ground or space?
Space. I did the Allied zone.
Do you like the new HUD display where it gave you a directional this time instead of you just roaming finding missions?
I didn't exactly notice it. I noticed that they have a lot more better way of letting people know where the missions are when you like click on the command missions or the storage missions and stuff like that. It'll show you where to go a lot more better, a lot bigger square and all that. I noticed that. It's been released for quite a while, but I haven't really gone in a big way to, I don't go looking for these sort of things, if you know what I mean. So if it's there, it's obviously a positive and good thing. So
yeah, I actually like the little change with HUD and some of the other things. The ground is a little different. But the introduction of dilithium is nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, when it first got launched, it did have be able to get dilithium from the space. Then they, after a couple of weeks, they took it away. Now it's come back for this particular weekend. So yeah, certainly players definitely need to take advantage of that. But anyway, moving on. We've also just got one final little bit of news here that a columnist called Jeff Francis, who does work with the MMO-play.com website, he put a column in or blog in about called Why You Should Be Playing Star Trek Online. So I had a bit of a read of it, and it's quite a good little blog where he actually starts off with the history of Star Trek Online with Cryptic on how what's the name of the other company there that gone bust before Cryptic got the license, Perpetual Entertainment. So it goes on, starts from right back then to history and, you know, Atari selling off to PWE and they have to get the a bit better budget, and goes in, talks about the starship combat, the diplomacy, content, the lore about the game. It's not a terribly long blog. It's only about six or seven paragraphs. Keeps it rather plain and simple. But I've what I've read of it, it's definitely quite a positive little blog there if anyone wants to have a bit of a read of it. But now over the week we've also had three dev blogs come out about starting off with dev blog 35, which is season 8.5 overview. The newly appointed or reappointed, I should say. D'Angelo puts his two bowls worth into this dev blog. It's not a terribly big dev blog. It's no pictures with it, but it just pretty much tells what's going to be coming up in the next month or two with the season launch of 8.5 and the anniversary event. In a way, it keeps it rather plain and simple. What do you think about it, Skip?
I'm just amazed that we had three in one week. It was like every time you turn around, something was changing.
Yeah, so it seems like they did a New Year's resolution of actually getting in and giving us something positive. So it's certainly a good thing to keep people enthusiastically involved with Star Trek Online. So then we have the other dev blog. Dev blog 36, which is designer Jesse Heineck talks about the Klingon War Story arc update. So they've gone in and cleaned up the, what Skip just mentioned, they gave a bit of a clean up of the Klingon War with the story arc of feature episodes for the Klingon War series. I haven't exactly read this all in real depth. Have you done this at all, Skip? A good read?
No, I'm still looking at it. I'm just trying to remember the progression when I first played with my main tune and how different it is now since I recently reworked it with an alt. Now, with this, it looks like it'll be a third time and it'll be changing up, so if I run another tune, it'll be all different once again.
Oh yeah, yeah, it definitely will be different. When this was put, was this all on the Triple Test server, I created a new Federation player just to play through the new tutorial missions, and you know it has changed quite a lot from when I first actually started out. You know, this time around you started out as a cadet instead of a ensign, so it definitely is a real good thing. So, but some of the things they've made is they've put some more mini contexts being added, better encounter pacing, remove extraneous encounters, so obviously a lot less pew pew pew. They made it cloak friendly, new art and environments, tighten and improve dialogue and career specific options and accolades. So they've really have put some, quite a lot of work into it. So
it looks like they took pieces of everything from last year, especially with the Romulan content release. Certain things you could only get with certain characters when you played through, which were the accolades. Now it looks like they're readjusting it to correspond with the update with that. Or you don't think so?
Yeah, well, they have started it doing that career-specific accolades. Yeah.
Wasn't that Deep Space Nine?
Start of the Deep Space Nine 2800 feature episodes. So, you know, the new...
Stranded in Space.
I'm not in game, so I can't remember what the actual mission's actually called, that first DS9 mission there. But so obviously they're still churning it out and putting it into to further feature episodes and content. So it's all very good. And they've gave the Undyne a bit of a revamp with the dev blog C-37, the Undyne Space Combat Experience revamp. I had a bit of a read of this before the show, and they pretty much just given the Undyne a bit of a better look with their ships. So,
cleaned up graphically, that'll work.
Yeah, clean up graphically. So, you know, so the frigate has got a totally different look to...
Do you remember your first fight with the Undyne?
Sorry?
Do you remember your first fight with the Undyne in-game?
Not off the top of my head. I remember one mission, feature episode mission I played... I find that it was like rather annoying, just the way it was designed. It was a lot more easier when I had the DPS, I must admit. But yeah, but just the dev blog has got pictures up with the particular ships between the frigates and the cruiser and the battleship and dreadnought, and. It's definitely a big improvement to the Undyne ships. Makes me wonder if they're actually going to like put on the sea store or throw them in a lockbox or something along that nature.
Wasn't there a holo one? I think we call a holo Undyne ship at one time.
As a holographic, or just
remember the Latinum you buy. You had the freighter, the Undyne, the Gemini, and something else.
I don't recall that at all. So,
you got the cubes, they were consumables, and then you gave you a hologram of something else for a period of time. But the thing was, it's still whatever ship you were flying was a ship. I think you got out of the Ferengi's bar at Deep Space Nine.
Oh, that's probably the thing with the gold press Latinum. Yeah, I think
early part of it.
Yeah, I think you can get that with through the purchasing a gold press Latinum. And where the Dabo Tabo is at Drizana. Well, the old Drizana, I don't know where it is on the new Drizana. But I think you can also get from the consulate called bar where you can hand in your EPOs and whatnot. I know you get trophies and whatnot there, so I think you can also get those holographic ships there as well.
Yeah, that's kind of nice stuff coming back and forth, but it's a little different each time I look. It's not the same game.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's it with the devlogs. I've also went and played a Foundry mission to do a review with. The Foundry mission is called Rihansu Part 1, The Plot, by Telaura, T-A-E-L-A-U-R-A. This mission is quite good, but it's quite short. It's only like probably two and a half map mission, and it's mostly evolved around pew pew pew. Just to give a basic outline of the story, you got asked to investigate a Romulan base, obviously, of probably something along with the Tel Shiar base, and went to go to investigate it and go in and steal some information from one of their computers. So that's pretty much the basic outline of the story. So you rock up. Its starting point is meet an NPC on the upper deck there above the ship's area, up the ramp, not up the turbo lift to where you get the view of all the ships there.
Not the shipyard.
Not the shipyard. The outer shipyard where you can get your ships repaired and got the holographic ships showing up there.
Lower floor.
Yeah, the lower floor. Not there. Not the one with the big window and you got the all the different class of ships docked. It's outside in the rotunda. And you got that ramp that goes up there. Yeah, it's located up there. There's an NPC you actually go up to talk to, give you the basic information, then you go to the very common wall console outside the turbo lift to actually start the mission. Then you go off to a planet, start off at a system, fight through a whole heap of prominent ships and go down to a space station. You fight another bunch of ships, a whole bunch of ground NPCs. The combat down there, then get the console and get to the console you need to download the information you want, and that's the mission finish. So, I only gave it 3 stars. Pretty much put the comment off, it really could be good if you can try and open up the story a bit more and put a bit more content into it. Don't get me wrong, it's a good mission. It's just probably in some ways just left it short in a way to really open up the story towards it. And it also really showed how short it is, because it only gave me 480 dilithium, but it might might interest other people, because this is actually part of a series. But also, I find it strange because he's got part one up, which is one I'm reviewing here. He's also got a part three up, but for some reason part two is not there. So give it a try. It might be encouraging to him to actually get in and try and open up the story a little bit more if people were playing it. So, you know, still keep it, try and keep positive with this particular mission. So, yeah, that's it with this review. I know it's a bit lackluster, but it's it pretty much comes with this. With this particular mission, sorry to say. The mission is called Bihansu Part 1, the plot by Tila Laura. No, I'm not saying that right, but it'll be there in the show notes. So, but now for my big spill. If anyone got a story based Foundry mission they would like us to review for them to help promote, please let us know either by email or Twitter, or let me know through Twitter, or I have got a blog post in Starbase UGC. If anyone wants to leave a comment in there, I've got an email reply to that blog, so if anyone leaves a reply, I could definitely know about it. So we're not going to do any spotlight missions, plus we're hoping to give people the opportunity who haven't had a review from other podcasts yet. So please, you know, we'd like to give you a helping hand with your missions, the story-based missions. And so, you know, please get in contact with us if you want us to help you promote your mission. But on another note with Foundry too, it probably would have been inconvenient with the show we had, the 100th episode show we had last week, but the time we were recording the last show last week, 3 years ago, I was actually coming home to actually evacuate my home due to the 2011 floods around exactly the same time 3 years ago when we recorded the last show. So, and I really hope that people can actually take hold of my missions, the floods at home, part one and part two, which I've based around what happened during the January 2011 floods. I personally was a victim of the floods myself, and with the street I was actually living in, and I've actually have put that particular made a map based around my street, and you'll see my character Woody Valley in it. So I hopefully ask if people like to just play that mission, please, to get an understanding of what happened down under here. So thanks if people actually get a hold of it and play it, it's much appreciated. So we do have other things to talk about here, but it's more for the bigger group to talk about, so I might leave it there for next week's show when everyone else comes back on board. So looks like we made good timing here. We're pretty close to the hour if we did this. So thanks for joining us for this episode. Sorry we don't have the big crowd of hosts with us this week. Hopefully we'll get everyone back on board next week to give more life to the show in some ways. So thanks for joining us, and hopefully we can see you all next week. Bye now.
Bye.
Will no kill I. Another night of Triple Z. Mescaline and mescaline, hairy mud and heroin, Deanna Troy and Dexatrim, Bones McCoy and opium, Demerol to Poligo, amphetamines to make it so. Another night of triples and ecstasy. Jean-Luc Picard, two vodkas and tryptophan, Odo psilocybin, ketosalai and ketamine, 25 cc's of cortisone, another night of triples and ecstasy. Hey, 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 hey! Hey, 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 hey! Mr. Spock and methadone, Viagra and the voyage home, Enterprise
for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to check Holosuite Media, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribbles in XTC, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to tribblesinecstasy@gmail.com. Join us next week for another episode of Tribbles in Ecstasy, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.